Blog Talk Radio.
I joined Uber One because I hate delivery fees and I need to save money for when I get canceled. And I don't want to go back to selling pictures of my feet. I mean, how would I even do that? Find out at bignaturaltoes.net. Join Uber One or don't, I don't care.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. The those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Jonah was a man, got a word from the Lord. Go and preach the gospel to a sinful land. But he got on a ship and he tried to get away, and he ran into a storm in the middle of the sea. Now the Lord, he made the wave just to roll so high, the ship began to sink and they all began to cry. So they pulled old Jonah out of the hold, and they chumped him in the water just to lighten up the load. Now the Lord made a whale long and wide.
Lord, Lord, what man of fish?
And he swallowed up Jonah, hair and hide.
Lord, Lord, what man of fish? Lord, Lord.
Now Jonah started to pray in the belly of the whale.
Lord, Lord, what man of fish?
He repented of his sins like a man in jail.
Lord, Lord, what man of fish? Lord, Lord.
Now Jonah must have been a bad man. He must have been a sinner.
Lord, Lord, what man of fish?
'Cause when the whale got him down, he didn't like his dinner.
Lord, Lord, what man of fish?
Well, he swam around the ocean, sick as he could be. Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish? And after 3 days, whoops, he had to set him free.
Lord, Lord,
wasn't that a fish? So the whale spit Jonah out on the dry land.
Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish?
And he went on to preaching like a righteous man.
Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish?
Then the people quit their sins when they heard him into town.
Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish?
So when you hear the call, don't you turn the gospel down. Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish?
Hey, hey, good evening, good evening. Welcome to another WBNN broadcast. This is Pastor Kev, welcoming you to The Work Is Done. We are broadcasting live out of Lagos, Nigeria. And if you want to be part of the audience tonight, if you want to call in with your comments, feel free to do so. Call in at 516-453-9133. Again, that is 516-453-9133 to The Work Is Done. You know, I'm always excited about, you know, our broadcast every 4 weeks, and I'm excited about what God wants to get through to you, and so that we can learn together, we can grow together. So tonight on The Work Is Done, we're going to be talking about the 7 steps to answered prayer. That is 7 steps to answered prayer. Now, these steps that I'm going to give you tonight, these are not the definitive steps. These are not steps that are written in stone. These are just steps that, you know, that have helped me in my walk with God, in my Christian faith, in learning how to have my prayers answered. So you can look at these steps as a guide. You may get to a point where you develop your own seven steps. You may read other books and get other information as to steps to have your prayers answered. But these are steps that I have found to be very helpful in my life. Amen. Starting at step number one, the very first step I believe that you have to accomplish in getting your prayers answered is to believe that you are saved. That is I really believe that is the most important step, is to believing that you are saved. And that really means that believing that God has chosen to forgive you of your sin. Now, one of the things that the enemy wants to do, by the enemy, we're talking about devil, the Satan, the serpent, that old snake. One of the things that he really endeavors to do is to keep you in bondage to your former lifestyle. He wants you to really believe that whatever it is that you have done in your life, you are not worthy of God's love. That God, you know, he may forgive other people, but he won't forgive you because what you've done is just so egregious and is so far out there that there's no way that you can ever be forgiven. You have to recognize and realize that that is really just a lie from the pit of hell, all right? So when we read in the Bible, we read in Romans, the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is no condemnation. See, that word condemnation, it means to blame, to find fault with, all right? So there's no condemnation. So he wants to keep you in remembrance of everything that you've ever done wrong. And the only purpose of that is to make you feel unworthy, to make you think or believe that you haven't been forgiven, to make you think that to make you really believe, man, you know, I went to church or, you know, I heard the message preached and, you know, I heard the invitation for salvation. I said the sinner's prayer, but I don't feel like I'm saved. And if I don't feel it, maybe I'm not. Maybe I have a hard time believing because I still I say that I'm saved, but yet I still do things that's contrary to the Christian way of living. So that's where he operates. He operates in that realm of getting you to doubt your salvation. So that's why I say this first step is so important, especially to someone who's new to Christ, someone who's new in their Christian walk, because you're not going to do everything perfect. And God never expects you to be perfect. You know, that's just something that, you know, society portrays Christians as being. Or if you say you're a Christian, you're supposed to walk out this perfect lifestyle. And that is just not true. None of us are perfect. You will never be perfect. As long as you walk on this earth, you will never be perfect. But the Christ who's now on the inside of you is perfect. And even though he doesn't expect perfection, you can strive to be a better person than you have been, a better person than you were, in this new life that you now live, as opposed to the one that you used to live. So step number one, you have to believe that you are saved. In other words, you have to believe that you have been forgiven. You know, God tells us in, I believe it's in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 25. He says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my sake, and I will remember your sin no more. That's the God we serve. So if he's not remembering your sin because you ask for forgiveness, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If you confess your sin, God says for his sake, he doesn't remember it. So if he's not remembering your sin, why are you allowing the devil to keep you in remembrance of your sin? You know why? Because he wants to bring that condemnation. He wants you to feel guilty. He wants you to feel condemned. He wants you to feel that you're not worthy of forgiveness or worthy of God's love. And there are so many people walking around right now, even some may be listening to this message tonight, thinking that whatever you've done in your life has disqualified you forever from receiving God's love. No, I'm here to tell you tonight, nothing, you know, it says it in the book of Romans chapter 8, I believe it's verse, I believe it's around verse 30, I know it's not 31, but he says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. So don't allow the enemy to try to fool you into believing that you are not worthy of God's love. Amen. So that's the first step. All right. And then, like I said, there are seven steps that I've come up with. Now, you know, seven is a number of completion. So when I put this message together, I wasn't even thinking about seven being the number of completion. I was just listening to God give me these steps and realizing that these are the steps that I've used to have my prayers answered. So another thing that he tries to make you condemned about, you know, you may say, well, no, I don't feel like I'm saved because I still get angry. Well, being angry is not a sin. You know, as long as you're here on this earth, you're human, which means you are prone to having human responses, human emotions. If you weren't, I would question that. If I didn't have any human interaction or human reaction to certain events that transpire in my life, I would question that more than question my salvation. Because we're not robots. We're not supposed to be unfeeling, uncaring. So, yes, there are times that you may be angry, but what does the Bible say about that? If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So the Bible never says that we can't be angry. It just says that in your anger, don't sin. In other words, look at it this way. You have someone who has made you angry. Okay, let's be real, because you guys know that I'm transparent. I'm as real of a pastor as you're going to get. Pisses you off. But what the Bible is saying is that when you get to that level of anger or that level of frustration, don't look for revenge. Don't look to get even, to pay back, because that's when it crosses the line from anger to being in sin. So you just have to remember, like, yes, it's okay for you to get angry, but don't sin. Don't look for the retribution. Don't look to get even or pay somebody back. Oh, you pissed me off. Oh, you did this to me. Okay, watch and see what I do to you. See, because now, see, that's sin, because now you're doing railing for railing, as the Bible says. You're trying to repay evil with evil. And when you get in that mindset, that's when it becomes sin. When you try to repay evil for evil, that's when it becomes sin in your life. So, no, you don't want to be in that area of anger. But, you know, somebody just getting you upset and getting you angry, yes. I mean, who in this earth or on this world can say that they don't get angry about things? You know, I've been pastoring since 2009, there are still things, there are still people cause me to get angry. You know, I have somewhat, and believe me, I'm working on me. I'm praying about me. I'm letting God complete the work that he's begun in me. But I still have a low tolerance when it comes to dealing with people who don't operate in basic common sense. That's me, and I can be real and honest about that. But I had to realize all sense is not common. So what may be common sense to me, because of my life's experience, somebody else may not have that experience. So it may take them longer for that light bulb to go off, for it to click, than, you know, I think it should take. But then that's where I have developed patience and understanding in dealing with people like that. To understand, like, okay, it's going to take them a little longer to get it, so let me not get frustrated. Let me recognize where they are, who they are, and then, you know, that kind of calms me down. Think that just because you got angry over something, because of something, because of someone, that disqualifies you from being a citizen in the kingdom of God. It does not. That's why we have the Bible. That's why it's our instruction manual. It tells us that we can be angry as long as we don't sin in our anger. And then it said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You shouldn't carry that anger to bed with you. So if you had to make a phone call, just tell that person, look, man, you know, or look, woman, you know, this is what you did. I'm upset about that, and I need to confront it because I don't want to go to bed with this on my spirit. So we just always have to be mindful that we're doing things the biblical way, all right? So step one, believe that you are saved. Step two, here's step two. And having your prayers answered. Don't be afraid to ask. All right, what do I mean by that? Don't be afraid to ask. You know, I remember when I was a kid listening to some of the older saints say how, oh, you don't ever question God. You don't never, you know, don't you ever ask. Question God, and if you're going to ask for something, don't ask for selfishness and blah, 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 blah. Okay, then don't ask. Don't be afraid to ask. Go to the book of John, if you have your Bibles, and I should have made sure that you had that. And if not, then, you know, I'm more than happy to read it to you. John chapter 16, and we're going to look at verse 24. This is what Jesus says. He says, until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Because before you got saved, before you entered into the kingdom, you weren't really asking for things in the name of Jesus. You were asking God for things. Yes, God, can I have this? God, can I have that? But you weren't really asking those things in Jesus' name. So he says, until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Then he says, ask. And you will receive that your joy may be full. So you have to have the confidence and the boldness to ask God for the things that you want. Now, if you understand me now, notice I'm going to make a very distinction between asking for the things that you want and asking for the things that you need. All right? Here's why there's a difference. You don't really have to ask for the things that you need because the Bible tells us that God already knows the things that we have need of. And it says in the book of Philippians, in chapter 4, it says that my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory, which are in Christ Jesus. So God is going to supply what you have need of. Now let's talk about your wants. Your wants are different from your needs. All right? Let me give you an example. I have a car. I have a car that is paid for. I have a 2011 Audi Q5. It's mine. It's paid for. I don't need a car. But I want a newer car. I want a new car. Is that a need for me? No. Is that something that I'm expecting God to supply because I need it? No, because I don't need it, but I desire it. So there's a difference between my want and my need. So your need, God says he shall supply all your need. So what is what are our basic needs? Our basic needs are just like if you had a child, as a parent, what is your responsibility to provide for that child? Food, shelter, clothing, safety. See, that's your responsibility as a parent to make sure your child has their basic needs. So God is our Father. He's our Heavenly Father, and his job is to make sure that our needs, our basic needs, are supplied for. Other than that, it's about what you want. And we're going to talk about your wants when we come back right after this track.
Go down, Moses.
Thank you.
right, we're back with The Work Is Done, where you can call in tonight, 516-453-9133. And we're talking about steps to answer prayer, steps to have your prayers answered. And right before that break, we were talking about your needs and your wants. So there's a difference between what you have need of and the things that you may want. So, you know, you have to make sure when it comes to the things that you want, they have to be in line with the will of God for your life. And because people just ask for, you know, things that they really shouldn't have. And I want you to look at the book of James chapter 4, starting at verse 2. James chapter 4, verse 2. It says, "You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." So again, there's a difference between your need and your want and why you ask, how you ask. Why is it, how are you asking for what you want? Why is it that you want a certain thing? Is it because you want to spend it on your guilty pleasure? Are you wanting to be seen? Are you wanting to be acknowledged? Oh, look at what you have. Oh, how much did that cost and all this stuff? Or is what you want going to be used to glorify God? So there is a stark difference between having your need met and having your want met. So what he says is that you have because you do not ask. And a lot of times, like I said, when you look at some of the older saints who tell you, oh, don't be asking God for everything. You don't need all of that. Well, who are you to tell me what I need? Who are you to decide what it is that I should want? Nobody should have the power to relegate or delegate to you what it is that you want, as long as what you want lines up with the will of God. Is God going to send you or provide for you things that, you know, you can go out and that's going to really satisfy your flesh? No, he's not obligated to fulfill that. Look, again, like I said, when you have children, you can more relate to this kind of topic. Okay, you have a child, and as a parent, yes, it is your obligation to supply for their basic necessities. But is it your obligation to buy them that new bike that they want? No. They may not have earned the new bike. They may not have earned the new game system that's coming out. So, no, I'm not obligated to buy you the extra stuff that you may want, not unless you've shown that you earned it or deserve it. Well, we have to look at God the same way as our Heavenly Father. He's not just obligated to give you things just to satisfy your flesh, but he is obligated to supply the things that you have need of. But as a believer, you know, I'm not afraid to go to God and ask him for a new car. Why? Because I make sure that my day-to-day living honors him. I make sure that I try to do the right thing. I try to make sure that I live a life of integrity so that when I ask for the things that I want, there's no problem with me having to feel condemned. There's no problem with me having to feel as though God is not going to give me the things that I want because I spend my life trying to honor him. But see, when you live your life trying to just fulfill you, trying to be selfish, oh, it's all about you, put the spotlight on me, then no, God is not obligated to give you the things that you want. All right? So, you know, when you're making sure that you're walking that straight and narrow, don't be afraid to ask God for things. Don't be afraid, because not only will he give you what you need, he'll give you the things that you want. Look at Solomon in the Old Testament. God asked Solomon, he said, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" He was giving Solomon a blank check. A blank check. What do you want me to do? Solomon could have asked for anything. But you know what Solomon asked for? He said, give me wisdom so that I can lead your people. Man, that touched God so much. God says, you know what? You could have asked for the riches. But because you asked for the wisdom to lead your people, I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you the wisdom that there's not going to be anybody else who can compare to the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that you're going to have. But I'm also going to give you that which you didn't ask for. And Solomon was one of the wealthiest men who ever walked the planet. See, so that's what I'm saying. Don't be afraid to ask God for the things that you want, especially when you're living the life that you're supposed to be living. All right? Don't be afraid to ask. So first step, believe that you're saved. Second step, don't be afraid to ask. Step number three, you have to hold on to your faith, to hold on to your faith. Look at James chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 6. Holding on to your faith, it says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. If you're going to ask God for something, believe that you'll receive it. Don't think, oh, okay, today I think God's going to do this for me, but then as soon as something happens, well, see, I ain't think God was going to do it anyway. See, that's being double-minded. And that's why he said, don't let not that person think that they'll receive anything. They're double-minded. See, you didn't believe that you were going to receive it when you asked for it. You didn't really believe that you was going to get it anyway. See, that's that defense mechanism that we're taught, you know, for whatever experiences that you've had in life. You've built these defense mechanisms so that now you can justify. That makes you feel better when you can justify why you didn't get a certain thing. Well, I didn't think I was going to get it anyway. And so to you, by saying that, it makes it okay that you didn't get it. So in other words, you really didn't believe that you were going to get it in the first place. So God is saying, listen, if you're going to ask me for something, then that means you're trusting me to provide it for you or to you. So hold on to that faith. Don't give up on it. Don't cast doubt on it. Don't allow the enemy to come in and say, nah, man, that ain't going to happen for you. Don't allow that kind of doubt and negativity to creep in. And if you surround yourself with people who are speaking like that in your life, then guess what? You need to surround yourself with better people. And, yeah, you might say, well, Pastor Kev, that's kind of hard. This is my ride or die. No, they're not your ride or die. If they can't agree with you for something that's going to benefit you, they are not your ride or die. They are really a rock around your neck holding and weighing you down. And you need to cut that loose. You need to cut it loose, all right? So, you know, you got to hold on to your faith. But I'm going to take you to the book of Hebrews now. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. You have to believe that God is faithful. If God promised you something, he's not like a man or a person, a human, that make these idle promises. Oh, yeah, I'll do it for you. And they don't really mean it. They don't really, you know, you can't trust them at that. But God, if God promised it to you, you can best believe he's going to deliver. Why? Because he is faithful to his word. All right, so we have gone over the first three steps. Having your prayers answered. And we're going to continue with the next step right after this.
The story.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
There was three children from the land of Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Took a trip to the land of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He took a lot of gold at midnight of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he told everybody when he heard the music of the trombone. And he told everybody when he heard the music of the clarinet. And he told everybody when he heard the music of the harp. You must fall down and worship the idol, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. But the children of Israel would not bow down, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Couldn't hold them with the golden idol, Shadrach,
Meshach, Abednego.
I said you couldn't hold them with the golden idol, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. So the king put the children in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Heaped on coals in a red-hot brimstone, Shadrach,
Meshach, Abednego.
11 times hotter, hotter than it ought to be, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Point up the soldiers that the king had put there, Shadrach,
Meshach, Abednego.
But the Lord sent an angel with the snow-white wings down in the middle of the furnace, talking to the children about the power of the gospel, Shadrach,
Meshach, Abednego.
Well, they couldn't burn a hair on the head of Shadrach,
Meshach, Abednego.
Laughing and talking while the fire jumping around. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar saw Hadad when he saw the power of the Lord. And they had a bigger time in the house of Babylon.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
Oh, Abednego.
Welcome back to The Work Is Done on the WBNN Network, broadcasting live out of Lagos, Nigeria. This is Pastor Kev, and we are going to go to the call line. We have a caller. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Pastor, it's Jerry Petito.
Hey, Sister Jerry, how are you tonight?
I need prayer.
Okay.
I've been praying with two families all day, and I need prayer to say the right things. A friend of mine died today. She overdosed, and I met her through her boyfriend. We all live in the same town. Mm-hmm. They were clean and sober for a while, and she picked up and died, and they're in my age bracket. He's ready to give up. My other family that I've been praying with, she's on the verge of a nervous breakdown, and I need prayer to really know how to help them.
Okay. All right, well, yes, let's pray. Our Father and our God, Lord, we first come to you thanking you for Sister Jerry and her heart to want to help people, because it's not often that we have people who really want to extend themselves and to look beyond themselves to go out and help other people. And in doing so, Father, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you give her the right words to say, that she doesn't have to worry about leaning on her own understanding. With Holy Spirit, we know that your word declares that in the right time, you will fill her mouth with the correct words to speak, the correct words to minister to those who are hurting, those who are lost. We pray for the family of this person that lost their life today. Father, we lift them up. We ask you as the Holy Spirit to go forth and comfort them right now in the name of Jesus. Even the ones who want to give up, who feel as though there's nothing left to give, nothing left to live for. Father, we ask right now that you just shine your light upon them to let them know that there is still hope, regardless of circumstances, regardless of situations. There is still hope because you are still on the throne. And all the hurt, all the pain, this is nothing but enemy to pull them down into despair, to pull them down into darkness. But you are the one who is able to shine light in the darkness. So we thank you, Father God, that even the light that you're shining is coming through Jerry, because your word declares, let our light so shine before men that they will see your good works and they'll glorify you who is in heaven. So I thank you for the light that is shining in her and through her. In the name of Jesus. And Father, continue to strengthen Jerry as she's dealing with this as well. It's not just the people, but she's dealing with this as well. So I ask that you, everything that she pours out, Father God, replenish her double fold in the name of Jesus, so that her cup remains on full, that she never feels as though she has given all that she could give, because you are able to allow her to give even more than that. So sustain her, keep her, replenish her in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that right now. We give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name for all that you are going to do, even in the midst of a situation that seems hopeless. We thank you for miracle working power in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, Pastor. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I so needed that.
And Brother O wants to play a special track just for you.
Oh, thank you. I love you, Brother O. Thank you.
Me, home.
mean, that's what I'm talking about. Want to go home.
And we're back again with The Work Is Done on WBNN Network. So, and I just ask that those of you who are listening, continue to keep Jerry in your prayers, and as well as the family of those who lost a loved one today, and the family of the individual who feels as though they want to give up as well. Keep them in your prayers. It's incumbent upon us as believers to carry, this is what the word says, that we have to carry each other's burdens. So that means that you don't ever have to feel like you're in this fight by yourself, because we are never in the fight by ourselves. So keep them in your prayers. Let's go back to the call lines. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, how are you? This is Tiana Speaks. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. It's an amazing show. I love everything that you spoke about. First, I want to say my heart goes out to Jerry, you know, and the family of the person, you know, that just passed away as well. My heart also goes out to Jesus and the loss of her son. You know, it's, you know, very sad. And it's absolutely beautiful prayer that you did with Jerry, and it's very touching.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I wanted to say, like, I love everything that you said, but I wanted to touch on one thing, which is, you know, towards the beginning, where you spoke about basically, like, I guess in a nutshell, like, revenge, you know, and I really love that because I was raised, you know, that, you know, God's vengeance is mine. So throughout my whole life, mm-hmm. around me, I watched people always retaliating against each other, and I always thought it never went well for them. It always ended up, you know, being, you know, where like a circle, you know, where things came back on them. And I promised
That's
myself
right.
as a child, I said, particular individuals, I said, I don't ever want to be like these individuals. And I promised myself that I would lay my head down on my pillow every single night, knowing that I never wronged anyone and knowing that, you know, just letting God take care of things, you know, doesn't mean that I haven't in the past gotten upset. And I've kept that promise my entire life. Like, the revenge isn't in my blood at all. You know, like, the only thing I could say is I'm more outspoken than I used to be. Like, if somebody is doing something, I realize there was a particular individual who was upsetting me, a family member. And out of respect, I wouldn't speak up. When I started to speak up, I started to feel better, and I realized, like, it's not fair to anyone else around me who loves me that I have to carry whatever it is I'm carrying. They don't get the best of me because of this person. So now I
Right.
speak up, I say what I feel, and I feel free, and I do that with everyone. Anyone in my life, I tell them how I feel. Sometimes, you know, I may be a little, I don't want to say hesitant, but I may just wait because, you know, sometimes you want the person to be receptive, but I also realize it's not always either about the person being receptive or understanding. Sometimes you just need to get it out for yourself. So
mm-hmm.
when you speak to somebody, a lot of times people say, oh, I don't want to say this, the person's not going to understand. But sometimes it's not even about looking for that understanding for that person. Sometimes you just need to get it out and you'll feel so much better. And I actually did that very recently, like a family member who, like, there was constant disrespect. And because of this person, you know, I let them know how I felt. You know, and I felt better. And they didn't have a comment back because I'm pretty sure they know what I said is true, you know, but it was about time and it needed to be said. And I feel better, you know, like I feel better because I feel like you're the biggest protector of yourself, of your soul, of your life. Like, you are the biggest protector. Nobody else, you know. So, and I appreciate what you said about asking for things that you need and how to do it, because I think I was kind of like, you know, I may ask for things in Jesus' name, but not often. Sometimes I just ask. So I appreciate you, like, giving that message out because that really touched me too. So I wanted to say thank you. And thank you, Brother O, for always playing good music.
Amen. Well, I thank you for your comments because, you know, people have to understand that when you say that you're a Christian, you know, or child of God, does not mean that I'm a walking mat. for you to walk over me. You do have a voice. You absolutely have a voice, and you are your biggest advocate. And if you don't learn how to stand up for yourself, you know, people are going to walk over and take advantage of you. And because they, I thought you were a Christian. Well, yeah, I am, but that doesn't mean that I'm a walking man, that you can just treat me any way you want to treat me, say anything you want to say to me, and I'm just supposed to take it. Because see, they take that, well, you're supposed to turn the other cheek. Well, guess what? Turning the other cheek does not open the door for you to abuse me.
Or disrespect.
And I will not be abused by anyone. So, yes, thank you for that. Go ahead. You have something else?
I just wanted to ask you, just as, you know, a pastor, I wanted to know, throughout your life, maybe before you were a pastor, even now, when you go through things with people, you know, and they may do you wrong, and other people, do they egg you on to do and get revenge? Because that happens to me a lot. And I know that those people don't understand me and how I operate, because that's not how I operate, and that's not going to make me feel better. Because at the end of the day, everything that comes out of my mouth and every action I do, I know I'm responsible for, you know, and I know God is watching everything that I do. So I know a lot of people don't keep that in mind, but I was wondering, like, what is your experience as a pastor in regards to that? Like, when somebody has done something to you in your friends or your family or acquaintances, like, when they tell you, like, what you should have did, you know?
Well, you know, I don't have that as much now because, number one, I'm more guarded in who I share information with. So I make sure that if I'm sharing information with someone, that we are like-minded. So you have to make sure who you're sharing your hurt and your pain with. Because if you share your hurt and pain with worldly-minded people, then you're only going to get worldly responses. I was you, I would get this. And if I was you, see, that couldn't have been me. See, I'm talking to the wrong person. See, I need to talk to people that's going to encourage me to continue to do the right thing.
Thank you for that's a good point.
Yeah, just
thank
be mindful of who you share your hurt and pain with.
Right.
Because, you know, like they say, hurt people hurt people. So if you share your pain with somebody else that's hurting, who hasn't been delivered from their pain, they're only going to respond to you from their pain. But if you share your hurt and pain with people who have been delivered from that, they're going to share with you how to be delivered and how to overcome that.
Wow, thank you so much. That was so powerful. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Thank you for everything.
You're welcome.
God bless you.
Okay, God bless you as well. And thank you for calling in tonight. I really appreciate you. We're going to go back to callers. We have another caller. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, peace, man of God. Man of God, how you doing? This is
Hey, brother. The magic.
Hooney Bakatun.
Tell me.
Yes. My travel name is Hooney Bakatun. Atun, and my pen and stage name is Master Ta Magic Man Haru. I'm enjoying your message as I always do. And one of the things that I have to say time and time again, those of us who listen to you, man of God, is your delivery is so soothing. You get what I'm saying? You know, I just wanted to acknowledge that not only is your form of delivery, and I was listening and reflecting on the powerful prayer that you shared with Jerry Petito. You know, we're dealing with some trying times right now. We really are. And unfortunately, the evil one in their kind has been running rampant for way too long. I comprehend, you know, with the teachings of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And, you know, we want to do our best to be as peaceful as we possibly can. But there's a time that we also have to invoke the spirit of the Archangel Michael. You get what I'm saying? Because as it was in the beginning, so it shall have to get back to that state right now. And unfortunately, the things that took place in the heavenly realm has now, it's happening right here. We're living it in this day and time. And what's so sad is you got a lot of God-fearing people that is allowing evil to run rampant. And it's time to say enough is enough.
Amen. Amen. You know, I'm in full agreement with that. But people have to have that understanding and recognize evil for what it is. And because people don't recognize it, they can't speak against it. They can only let it run rampant and then wonder why their life is in the turmoil that it is in. Because you not only allow it, but a lot of times people speak it into their lives. Because whether it's, you know, traditional, generational, people speak the negativity. They speak the evil into their lives because they don't know how to speak anything else. And it's not until, you know, you really take the time to apply some of the things that you're hearing, like through messages like tonight. And I don't, you know me, you've known me for 3 years. I don't put myself on any kind of pedestal. You know, I try to be as transparent. I try to minister from my past experience. A lot of times what I minister is from my past experience. These are things that I've gone through, that I've had to overcome in my life. That's why I'm free to try to help other people because, you know, if you really understand it, we've all had our demons that we've had to overcome. All of us. We've all had our battles that we've had to fight. And that's why I keep saying nobody is perfect. Everybody's going to go through something. If you haven't gone through it, you're going to go through it. You've already been through it. It's coming. But you have to understand the power that's on the inside of you that gives you the ability to be victorious over that thing. And in this world right now is in a very evil place, And we have to recognize that, but we have to recognize that we're going to come out victorious because of the one whom we serve. So that was the magic man, the one and only Huni Bakuntun, awesome man of God, powerful man of wisdom, insight, revelation, knowledge. So if you ever have the opportunity of checking out his show, please do so. But I know we have to get to this next track, and we'll be back with The Work Is Done right after this.
Well, Ezekiel saw the wheel a-rollin', the great big wheel a-turnin' over. Ezekiel saw the wheel a-rollin', way in the middle of the air.
Great God!
Ezekiel saw the wheel a-rollin', the great big wheel a-turnin' over. Ezekiel saw the wheel a-rollin', way in the middle of the air.
Well, great God Almighty, Bible declared, Ezekiel saw the wheel in the middle of the air. Great big wheel and a little bit of wheel, a wheel turning over in the middle of the wheel. The good book says, and the book don't lie, God told Ezekiel to prophesy. Then my God spoke in Ezekiel's mind, he raised his voice and began to cry. He cried, old bones,
old bones are walking.
Great God Almighty, the old bones are talking.
Old bones, bones, won't you hear me now? Old bones,
you hear the word of God.
Ezekiel saw the wheel a-rollin', the great big wheel a-turnin' over. Ezekiel saw the wheel a-rollin', way in the middle of the air.
Great God!
Ezekiel saw the wheel a-rollin', the great big wheel a-turnin' over. Ezekiel saw the wheel a-rollin', way in the middle of the air.
Well, God told Ezekiel to prophesy. Zeke tried to do it, and that's no lie. God sent the wind from the west and the east. Spirit struck him from his head to his feet. He cried, old bones,
old bones are walking.
Great God Almighty, the old bones are talking.
Old bones, bones, won't you hear me now? Old bones,
you hear the word of God.
Ezekiel saw the wheel a-rollin', the great big wheel a-turnin' over. Ezekiel saw
tried his best to do things the Lord had told him to.
He did his best, that's all he can.
After all, Zeke was a natural man.
Ezekiel saw the wheel of rolling, the great big wheel of turning on.
My man Ezekiel, who saw the will. This is the work of God. We're going to go back to the call lines. Caller, what's your name and where you calling from?
Hi, peace and blessings, Pastor Perry.
Peace and blessings. Good evening. How are you tonight?
All right. This is Sister Bessie the Truther.
Oh, I know. I know. How is my sister tonight?
I'm okay. I'm enjoying your ministry. Before I speak, I want to send out my spirit to Jesus, and I send my condolences to her, and also Shannon Stanton, that the Most High will heal her and bring her back. And I just wanted to let her know that we all love her, and the same thing with Jesus. What I wanted to speak to you about is in Philadelphia, we had a situation with a deputy sheriff, where he was a deputy sheriff, I believe, something like that. But this man was selling guns in Philadelphia. From what I understand is that he got 15 years. And I overheard someone today, they said that's not enough. But when you think about it, how many lives did he assist with taking by selling these guns? And yes, I believe if he's not the only one doing that, you know, it's costing lives. And
right.
you live that life that you don't care about nothing but money, and you don't care about the person's life that you're contributing and taking from this world. So I just wanted to say that, and I want your opinion on that. Okay, Pastor Perry?
Well, you know, I don't know if you know, but I started my career with the city of Philadelphia in the sheriff's department. And this was back in 87. I was actually a deputy sheriff officer from 87 to 94. So, so back then, that was unheard of. But, you know, from a biblical standpoint, you know, the Bible says that, you know, you have to suffer, and I'm just paraphrasing here. You have to pay for the wrong that you've done. So when we read scriptures like Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. And a lot of times when you hear that, people think that, you know, God is just supposed to be passionate, all forgiving all the time, and there's never a consequence to your actions. But that is not true. It is not biblical. There's always a consequence for your actions. And if you, even if you look at King David, who lusted after Bathsheba to the point where he's had her husband sent to the front line for the sole purpose of knowing that he would be killed in battle.
so that he could then marry Bathsheba and then got her pregnant. But God sent Nathan to him and told him through the prophet Nathan that the baby that she was carrying was going to die because of his sin. That's consequence.
Mm-hmm.
There are consequences to your actions. So if you're out here and you're held in the position, or you have a position of honor, respect, and authority, and you abuse that, then you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And
yes,
I agree. Look at how many lives could have been taken because of the illegal activity that he partook of. So if he got caught and, you know, he was found guilty of that, then, yes, he'll have every opportunity, every chance to make amends at some point, but you still have to pay for what you've done.
Yes.
I mean, Gomorrah wasn't wiped out for no reason. It was a reason that God sent that kind of destruction against that city. There was a reason for that. So people should never think that, oh, just because I say that I accept God, that I no longer have to deal with consequences. That's not true.
Right.
So, yeah, if he got caught, then, man, you got me curious as to if I know this person.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, another situation is Nineveh.
Mm-hmm.
They got forgiven, and they went back to their old ways and still got destroyed.
And even when you look at Nineveh, you know, that was one of the reasons why Jonah didn't want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to go and preach to Nineveh because he knew how forgiving God was. He knew that if he went there and they repented, that God would forgive them. And that's exactly what happened. And what happened with Jonah? Jonah was still pissed. He was upset.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what he said. If you read the story, Jonah was like, I knew you was going to forgive him. I know it.
That's right.
That's why he didn't want to go there. And he was mad and was sitting under, and he was sitting out in the sun. And even in his anger that he was mad at God, God still had a tree come up and provide shade for him. God loves even in that. So, yeah, you know, that's why I said, you know, this guy, he will still have an opportunity to make amends for what he did, and God will absolutely forgive him and cleanse him and still cleanse him of all unrighteousness, but that doesn't mean you don't have to pay for it.
Correct. Oh, thank you so much, Pastor. And I'm going to sit back and continue to listen to everything you said, and I hope the Most High watches over you and your family and keep you all blessed.
Well, you know, I thank you for that, Sister Bessie. It's always an honor, and it's absolutely my pleasure to have you call into my show. I thank you so much. This is The Work Is Done, and, you know, part of what the show means, saying that the work is done, really just encompasses everything about the work that we have to do as believers. And you see people calling in for prayer. You see people are really struggling. Some people are struggling in their lives, and not just them, but even dealing with loved ones and friends and family. And we have to be willing to share that burden. And see, that's a part of, that should actually be a part of your prayer, because I know a lot of times people will wake up in the morning and part of their prayer before they start their day is, you know, God, use me. God, let me be your light. Use me as your example, blah, blah, blah. And then when it comes time for you to be used, you don't want to be used. Well, I ain't mean it that way. No, see, he was answering your prayer. But see, you being used means you have to deny yourself to go help somebody else.
That's what Sister Jerry's talking about. And we had the other young lady who called and said she was going through stuff with her family, and, you know, God gave her the courage and the voice to speak up to say, hey, y'all not going to keep treating me this way. But see, you can't ask to be used, and then when it's time for you to be used, then you don't want to be used. Goes back to what I was saying earlier about somebody that's double-minded and being unstable. Oh, use me, God, use me. Okay, let me use you. Go help. Go talk to this person. Well, I don't want to talk to them. Or I don't want to go talk to this homeless person. I don't want to go talk to this person that I think is ugly or whatever. You can't have it your way and think that your way is doing it God's way. Let's bring on Brother O. I know he has a comment. Brother O, come on.
Well, first of all, I got to say this very, very clearly. What Pastor Perry is saying tonight is speaking to my spirit. In August, I came up with an incentive, an objective to help the community. And, of course, I did many different shows, and I expressed my opinion. You ask the Almighty God to use you. You have to want to be able to be in position to be a vessel. On December 10th, I've called on 5 different networks and 4 different laypersons to come on and do a show with us. And it really came through what our brother, Winnie Bakatunas, said. And he said very, very clearly, take our soul back. And our objective is to save lives, like our mantra here at ONE, WBNN, the Dynasty. I'm so proud of God using me for this purpose. And it's going to take a lot because I'm trying to produce an ONE Honors the same week, trying to get ready for a vote for our host for the Anna Wardell Award. A lot of things going on in the month of November. For the first time, you know, on the first, we're, you know, introducing to the world Clever One as our linear new host of the year for the class of 2022, the Sterling Griffin Award winner, and all that. But the most important thing is to save lives in our community. Take our soul back. You know, the mantra is that, you know, saving our nation through our youth. And I'm proud of that. Yes, it's going to be a lot of work for me, Pastor Kevin. And I'm ready to do it. How many of us are willing to give our lives for our kids? The cowardice that goes on in our communities is appalling and egregious. We must do something to give back to our community. My final track of this evening is very, very important. Then we'll take some calls. We have to get back down by the riverside. We cannot study this type of war. No more. Louis, knew what to do, baby.
I'm gonna lay down my sword and shield
down by the riverside. Down by the riverside.
Yeah.
Down by the riverside.
I'm gonna lay down my sword and shield
down by the riverside.
I'm gonna study.
War no more.
I ain't gonna study war no more. I'm gonna study war no more.
I
ain't gonna study war no
more.
I ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. I'm gonna lay down my heavy load
down by the riverside.
Oh.
Down by the riverside.
Yeah.
Down by the riverside.
I'm gonna lay down my heavy load
down by the riverside.
I'm gonna study.
Thank you.
gonna start it war no more. Ain't 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 gonna start it war no more. Yes, lay down, kiss and woe. Gonna lay down my heavy load
down by the riverside. God, it's done
no more. All right, we're back again. This is The Work Is Done, and you know we're talking about steps to answer prayer. And just to do a quick recap, I'm going to name all seven steps, and then I'll pick up where we left off with number four. All right, so the first one was believe that you are saved. Step two, don't be afraid to ask. Step three, hold on to your faith. Number four, don't put limitations on God. Don't put limitations on God. Number five, turn away from wickedness. Turn away from your evil ways. Number six, get an agreement or accountability partner. And number seven, seek God first. All right? You have all seven steps, and I'll go over them one more time before we end our broadcast tonight. But we're going to go back to the call line. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where you calling from?
Yo, this is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where we grow beds and pray on our face in front of Crown Chicken on Broad Street. How you doing tonight, man?
Clev, what's going on, brother? All right, listen, before you get into your comments tonight,
yes, sir.
I got to say, because you know I told you, I'm born and raised. I'm West Philly born, West Philly bred. Been a Dallas fan all my life. You guys, you Eagles, you guys are looking good. I got to give props to where props is due because that's what I do. So I just wanted to say that, get it out the way. Now, I'm going to give you the floor. What's up, Brother Clive?
Oh, man, it's good that you got that out the way because I didn't want to have to tackle you on 52nd Street, you know what I'm saying, with your Cowboys jersey on, bro. You hear that? Yes. So now that we're back to the national program, I wanted to say something, man, because, look, check this out, man. People, we have to know, whatever, wherever part of understanding these rules and regulations in which we have as human beings, whichever part of it that you are on, you know what I mean, an understanding that you need guidance out here and that, verily, this is a playground for us. Verily, this is a playground for us. You know what I'm saying? You know, and people need to know this. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to hit y'all with this one. Because in the languages, it is said, it says, Dunya al-Sajin al-Mukhmirin wal-Jannati al-Kafirun. In which this means in the language, it means that verily this world is a prison for the believer and a paradise for the disbeliever. So, verily, people, whatever it is that you believe in, you know what I'm saying? Know that some of these things that you're chasing is a mirage in the desert. And when they do not fall upon you, know that whatever does not fall upon you, it is meant for you to miss whatever it is, and whatever you miss is not meant to fall upon you. You know what I'm saying? Know that these things are written out for you in your womb. So know that whatever it is that you want to change, only these things can be changed by the continuous of supplication, in which is upon sincerity and certainty, and the sincerity and certainty in which you should have. Is something in which that is legislated upon, which is in the rules and regulation, 613 of them. If you're on that part of the scriptures, people, I'm Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where we rip the part that got the red words out and we staple that together and let them set the satellites with that.
Amen, amen. Real quick, I want to touch on one of the things that Clef said about this game. You know, when I was a kid, and it's still in the stores today, but when I was a kid, we played this game. It's called the Game of Life. You have to understand that this thing that we do day to day is really a game. And when you understand that, in order to play any game, you have to know the rules of the game in order to be successful. The reason why most people fail in this game of life is because they just simply don't understand the rules. They don't understand the rules. And this right here, that revelation that I just spoke, should be one of those ooh, wow light bulb moments for a lot of you out there tonight. It's a game. I understood that even at, when I left home at 17 and joined the military. I went in the Army at 17, 4 years in the Army. I understood then that it was a game. It was a game. They see, the drill sergeants, their job was to either try to break you down or to build you up. If you weren't strong enough mentally, they broke you down. And they knew which ones they could go after and break them down. But if you were strong and had that mental fortitude, you persevered, you overcame. They recognized it and they left you alone. They left me alone because I knew that this was a game that I had to play. And I've carried that mentality all throughout my life. Thanks, Clef. All right, we're going to go to our final caller. Welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from? Paul, are you there?
All right. All right, well, that caller is not on at this time. We try to get him on, so it's okay. We're going to go into the invitation to discipleship, and then in goes he time.
Amen. All right, so before we go into the invitation for discipleship, let me once again go over these seven steps. I didn't have a chance to expound on them all, but I just want to make sure that you have them. Again, this is not something that's definitive. This is just a guideline. Understand that. This is just a guideline to help you get started. All right. Number one, believe you are saved. Two, don't be afraid to ask. Hold on to your faith. Four, don't put limitations on God. Five, turn away from wickedness. Six, get an agreement or accountability partner. You need an agreement or accountability partner. And then number seven, seek God first. So there are some of you out there tonight. You heard the program tonight. You've heard the callers who have called in, some of the struggles that people have gone through or are going. You know the things that you deal with in your life, and you may have wondered how come, you know, it seems like I pray, but yet my prayers go unanswered. Well, that's that holding on part that you have to do. Abraham had to hold on for 25 years before he received the son of promise. Noah had to build an ark that took him between 80 and 100 years to build because God told him it was going to rain. They had never seen rain. They didn't know anything about floods. But he had to stay in faith, believing and trusting God that this was going to happen. So for 80 to 100 years, he stayed in faith and built an ark. Don't give up so quickly. But if that's you tonight and you have this revelation that you've gotten tonight, that, man, listen, I need to make sure that my soul is saved. If that's you tonight, just simply say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Create in me a new heart and renew a right spirit within me. Thank you for saving my soul. Fill me now with your power, your wisdom, your understanding, that I may learn, go, and grow into the person you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, this is Pastor Kev. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight. Those of you that wanted to call in didn't get an opportunity. Those of you that called in and shared your thoughts, your testimonies, I appreciate each and every one of you. And I'll be seeing you next time when the work is done. It is now time for Ngozi time.
On my way now, got on my traveling shoes. On my way now,
got on my traveling
shoes. Well, I'm on my way now,
got on my traveling
shoes. Now.
Got on my traveling shoes.
Oh, wait, child.
Got on my traveling shoes.
Well, I went to the church. I walked right in. The saints began to pray, and the Lord came in. I went to the altar, didn't find a fault. The saints began to pray, and the fires did halt. I'm on my way now.
Got on my traveling
well,
shoes.
Well, I'm on my way now.
Got on my traveling
oh,
shoes.
Shoes now.
Got on my traveling shoes.
Way child.
Got on my traveling shoes.
Well, I went to the valley. Didn't go to stay. My soul got empty, and I stayed all day. I went to the river and walked right in. Saints were all saved. Wash away your sins. I'm on my way now.
Got on my traveling.
Well, I'm on my way now.
Got on my traveling.
Oh, them shoes now.
Got on my traveling shoes.
Yes, way child.
Shoes. Boy, oh boy. Wow. Have I learned a lesson tonight in music? I never knew that Louis Armstrong sang gospel. I know he did some gospel in some of the movies, but I never knew that He sang with the Cy Oliver Choir and the All-Stars. That is just something. And the songs, I know all the songs that was played tonight, Brother L. And, you know, because that was the old-time church stuff back in the day. And I love all those songs, but I never knew he did those songs. Amazing, simply amazing. I enjoyed the music tonight. I truly enjoyed you, Pastor Perry, tonight with all your wisdom and with the way you answered, like, every question that was put to you tonight. Tiana Speaks had some really good questions, and the way you answered those, wow. Everyone could understand because of the clarity that you brought to explaining those things, those issues. So if people didn't understand, they, you know, I guess they had some mental problems, but you broke it down very, very well that even a child could understand what you were saying tonight. And I appreciate that about you and your show. The work is done. Yes. And wow, it was awesome, very awesome. Enjoyed Brother Hooney, Sister Betsy, and everyone else that called in tonight. And my heart goes out to Jesus Powell on the passing of her son. It is such a sad time for us here at WBNN because one of our fellow hosts has lost a loved one, a child. And it's very, very sad for me and all of us here at WBNN. And, wow, I'm praying for you, Jesus. I'm going to keep you in my prayers each and every day, praying that the Lord will strengthen you and comfort you and help you get through this time. My God, my heart goes out to you and to all of the other mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers that have lost loved ones yesterday, today, in the city of Philadelphia. People are still being murdered each and every day, and it just has to stop. It has to stop, and we have to continue in prayer, everyone, and I hope and pray that those of you that heard the sound of Pastor Perry's voice tonight leading you to discipleship. I hope and pray that some of you did accept that invitation so that God can change you and change your life around for the good, for the good. WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time and Oladele Malewe Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight, oladele.ngozi@my.com. For our mothers and fathers' favorite producer, Oladele Malewe Ngozi, I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. And make sure you tune in Sunday night to News Forum, where I am the host and anchor, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, right here on WBNN, or you can tune in at www.blogtalkradio.com. This Sunday night, we will be talking about the debate. I don't even know whether to call it a debate, but Fetterman and Oz, John Fetterman and Mehmet Oz, who's running for U.S. Senate in the state of Pennsylvania. We're going to critique that on Sunday, and we're going to talk about the proceedings for the impeachment of D.A. Larry Krasner in Pennsylvania. Eyes, all eyes on Pennsylvania this Sunday night right here on WBNN. Now stay tuned as we give it back over to Reverend Pastor Kevin Perry.
Well, first of all, I'm so glad that Reverend Perry was able to defer to me tonight. And I appreciate that, you know, Kevin, thank you so much. I'll never forget when my dad, you know, pastored for over 25 years. And even when I was a little boy, he would come up that pulpit and start singing, Traveling Shoes, got on my traveling shoes. I got into the water. The water was cold. It chilled my body, but not my soul. And that's where we have to be. We have to make sure that we stay afoot. And what's happening in our communities? My final thoughts is cowardice is genocide. Cowardice on the part of us is genocide. And to sing a song of my dad, you know, is amazing. I miss him so. He raised me up to be right, even though when I was wavered out there in those streets in Compton. And God saved my life to be a producer of this network. And the greatest thing we have is each other. You know, we must be better, folks. We must save our children, respect our women, and be a vanguard in our own communities. That's the key. We must do better tonight and tomorrow, even though we live now. Tomorrow we'll take care of ourselves if we have the discipline to be right, to do right, to always stand for right. The appalling silence of the good people are the reason why we have these situations in our communities. And we must be better. We must do better. It's a cry out, a cry in the wilderness for all of us. What is that cry? It will happen on the 10th of December when we bring on other CEOs of other networks to be able to come together and to be as one, forsaken ego to affect change. Let there be the beacon of light that stands on the face of the earth and to be the voice for change. We must do better, folks. We must save our kids now because that's what it's all about. You know, without our children, we don't have any future, period. And our kids are dropping off like fireflies. They're just dropping off, and we're allowing it to happen. There should not be a situation where we allow to happen. You know, I'm very, very torn, you know, in this. You know, there has to be somebody bigger than you and I. You know what I mean? You know, it's amazing to me, you know, where we don't understand what's going on. You know, who made the rivers to flow out to the trees? You know, and who makes sure that we offer the skies? Someone bigger than you and I. He lights the way when the road is long. He keeps you company with love to guide you. He'll walk beside you just like he walked with me. Who has the way to know right from wrong? And who gives us courage to go on from there? And who gives us faith that will never die? Somebody greater than you.